Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Violence, killing,
And right now in Chicago, as we look at this mayoral election, that's been the number one issue. And the fear that so many have developed at young people, seeing the youth as the problem, seeing the youth as out of control people who need to be contained and caged perhaps in our prisons. And what we're not seeing is the untold story of the origination of that pain. What are the origins? What's the beginning? Often where the pain began is with us, the adults, the parents, who were supposed to give them love, and instead we gave them pain. And so they look for other ways to find love and acceptance. And sometimes they make decisions that harm them. And when they do that, then we want to hurt them even further because we don't understand it. We've been the source of their pain. And the best way for them to receive healing is for us to look at ourselves and change what we're doing to the ones we're supposed to love. So today, the case of a woman who was in pain and wound up dead. And she was carrying a child, 7 months pregnant. And yet when her story hit the news, it did not engender the kind of empathy and sympathy and compassion that should come to a young mother who is trying to survive. Instead, there were attacks because her death was largely misrepresented and fed into the usual story that we have about young people. They're doing wrong, so, well, things happen. Well, today, our guest, Jessica Ingram, is joining us to shed some light on the reality of what happened to young Genesis, who has a story that needs to be told so that we can better see the origins of the pain that so many of our youth are suffering. So we're going to talk about getting justice for Genesis. So thank you for joining us today, Sister Jessica.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, justice for Genesis, I say it in three different ways. This is the beginning. And this is her beginning. And because that's what Genesis means. You know, it's the first book of the Bible. And, you know, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I don't know if her mother knows this, but I remember my mentor said a long time ago that, like, you know, angels, it could be an angel from heaven or the one that fell from that fell and went to hell, right? That give the parent the name of the child. And sometimes, you know, we may not know that, but you got to know that her mother was hearing from God, even if she don't realize she was hearing from God to name her baby Genesis.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
And we know that that was the angel of the Lord that told Genesis' mother to name her that.
There are no accidents.
I woke up this morning, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm weak. And, you know, the Lord took me to the scripture and said, you know, when... You know, my grace is sufficient when you're weak. And when you're weak, that's the only way I can use you.
Mm.
And so I boast about my weaknesses, and so I must be honest that I'm weak. It's about a lot of different other things. And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, and that's when my power can be made perfect. That's when my power can overtake you, and then you can speak, and then you can lean on me, and I can do the work through you, and I can begin to move through you, and I can do all things through you, but it's only when you're weak, then that's when you're strong. And so I come to say that I am weak. You know, as I heard you begin to speak with so much passion, you know, and I am of these past few weeks, it seems like I've been knowing you forever, and it's because you understand me.
Yeah.
You understand me. You treat me like I'm a human. You treat even those that have done the worst thing like human, because you understand spiritually. You understand that there's a spiritual war going on. And I'm like, Lord, Though I'm weak for a lot of other different areas, like I'm weak because of what's going on with the youth. Like, I got this burden, but the burden is not, see, God's burdens are not heavy, right? But I'm like, I got this burden, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm weak about what happened to Genesis. And I'm like, she was a human being. See, Genesis was me. You know, Genesis was me, and I'm like, I got to speak up. The Lord said, I need you to speak up. I need you to cry loud and spare not, because people are saying evil things about her. She was a human being. Not only was she was a human being, she was carrying another human being. 7, almost 8 months pregnant, and she was murdered in cold blood. And God said, I need you to cry loud. The Lord gave me this scripture, Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Mm.
For the rights for all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. A lot of people say, oh, don't judge. But the Bible also talks about judging righteously. Right? I'm not talking about the judge when I'm condemning you to hell. Because even if God sent me a sin of word, only the Lord is the last judge of that. But judging righteously is fair. Right? So speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. And so the reality is there's a lot of the streets is talking. And then
yeah.
You have the mother and the siblings and people who love Genesis. They're telling me about all of these stories about how she, you know, she had some things going on. See, I'm not going to tell all of Genesis' story on today, but I'm going to tell some of it, how Genesis, she comes from a messed up past, right? Genesis, you know, her mother did all she knew how to do, right? And so her father, she comes from a fatherless home.
Mm.
Genesis' father was not there. See, Genesis' father may watch this, and he may feel guilty. By all means, I want the Lord to touch him for him to get saved as well, right? But Genesis' father was very abusive, very violent to the mother and to the siblings and even to Genesis. And Genesis seen this going on with her mother on top of the issues that her mother had from her past and everything like that. And so Genesis' father left at a very young age. So imagine growing up, and you know, and see, here's the thing, Genesis, when I was speaking to her mother, I was putting the spiritual words behind what her daughter was going through. So Genesis, she started to deal with what we would call, like I dealt with, being an orphan, feeling abandoned, and then her mother can only be there as much her mother knew how to be, right? So
yeah.
she was suffering from abandonment. She was suffering from rejection. She was suffering from the father. The father wound. See, here's the thing. When our father is not fair, how many of you know when our father is not fair, we suffer with our identity. We don't know who
yeah.
we are. So
yeah.
Genesis, not only was she going through some other things that I can't really say on today, hopefully, maybe one day soon, the real whole thing will be able to come out. But Genesis was going through different things. She was suffering with this identity. She didn't know her purpose, and then her being, you know, well, I would say a part of kind of like the Hispanic, I think she was Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't get the resources that she needed to get. Genesis, she started to date these different young men who were violent. See, gangbangers, see, somebody, even if they don't be in the street, if you're violent, that same spirit is going to fall at your daughter. So Genesis began to seek out men that were just like her father. See, I remember that was me. I didn't understand. I'm like, why am I doing the things I'm doing? Why am I? See, when we don't know God, we don't even know why we're doing the things we're doing, because we don't understand the spiritual side of what's going on.
We don't know. Yeah.
And so Genesis, she got in this lifestyle because guess what? How many of you know, and I pray you guys know, but if you don't, I'm telling you now, the people who are in the streets or just in the world and they're around the people, it could be the prostitute, right? It could be the gangbanger. It could be the drug addict. It could be all these, the youth that are out here doing all these different things, right? They all carry, what is it, father and mother wounds.
Yeah.
They carry abandonment and rejection. So spirits or people who have the same womb, I always call them womb mates, because you don't have to be in a relationship romantically with somebody to still have a womb mate. Your friends can be womb mates because y'all agree. Y'all don't even know why. You start to mature. You're like, why did I choose this for? Oh, because we have the same womb.
Yes.
That's why we can't get along sometimes, too, because we got the out of the 7 years of homelessness, I was suffering so bad. So Genesis, she was suffering with the panic attack. So as I'm hearing the family speak on these things to me, as I'm gathering information, but I knew the Lord spoke and said, your story is just like hers.
Mm, wow.
So I was amazed. Like when I was like, Lord, I knew I heard you correctly. So I remember when I was suffering mentally. I hate to call it mental illness because there ain't nothing. I hate to label myself with that because it was in a time when I needed someone to speak life into me. Oh, listen,
yeah.
Let me break down and show you what really is going on. It ain't just mental. The word is, oh, you're just mentally ill. That's it. Go take some medicine. No, let me break down to you what's really going on. Listen, you're suffering from some generational things. You're suffering from fatherlessness. You're suffering, listen, because I have been through so much mental, psychological abuse. I have been through so much physical abuse. I have been through so much sexual abuse. So you tell me if I've been through all this abuse and neglect that I'm actually going to develop properly as a adult.
Right.
So that's when you break it down, that's what it is. And then when you break it more down, you begin to break it down about the different experiences. And then here's the thing, if your mother and father, they had issues and your mother carried you and she didn't get fully whole, all these issues passed on to you, and that's what a generational curse is. And then you break it down, it's a generational behavior, then it's generational decisions, right? And so you struggle with all these things. So I remember when I was dealing with panic attacks, I'm like, man, I would position myself because I knew it was coming on. It was like I couldn't control it. I couldn't. I'm like, and it felt like, I'll be honest with you, it felt like a demon was oppressing me.
Wow.
You know how I come on, I'm like, okay. I'm like, I knew what it was for. I'm like, okay,
knew
here
it
go. Let me position myself to deal with it. And then I deal with it, and it go away. And then I had to start to seek help. But Genesis never really got the help she needed. Genesis was crying out. You know, family was telling me, Genesis kept saying, it's something dark after me.
Mm.
It's something trying to get me. See, a lot of people, they threw her, she ended up in a mental institution. You just crazy. You need to get on some medication. You just, it's something wrong with you. You mentally ill. That's all it is. You psychosis.
Mm.
They call it psychosis. Sometimes we can't be seeing things that's not real. What's affecting us is things that's not real. But majority of time, it's the things that we're seeing are real. It's just spiritual. And a lot of the world don't believe in the spiritual realm. They believe we just here, we die, and somehow we come back as birds and animals. That's just me. I don't believe in that. I believe once you die, it's over with, because there wouldn't be this much pain behind somebody dying.
Well, definitely there's a reason for going through what we're going through. And mm-hmm. when, like you say, when people see the unseen, when they can see into the spirit realm, they call you crazy. But it's there. It's just you can see it, and they
can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who can't see it.
Some people are seers as well.
Yeah.
Some people have the gift of seers, and they see things that others can't see, you know, spiritually. So Genesis named her person that was and I'm not going to reveal this right now until the right time, the person that is responsible, one of the main people that's responsible for her death.
Mm.
How does she know to tell somebody, listen, if something happened to me right before she died, a couple hours or something, sent the girl to the page, like to Facebook, and said, if something happens to me, this is who's responsible for it.
She gave the warning.
Does that sound like a robber?
No. And
does that sound like somebody getting ready to rob somebody at 7, almost 8 months pregnant? Or does that sound like somebody that got into around some people that she knew she ain't had no business around and ended up in the middle of something that she felt helpless to get out of, especially because she was a female and everything?
Yes. And that sounds like somebody who had a premonition of their death before it happened.
Exactly.
And they sent that message to somebody so that when it happened, people would know the truth.
Yep.
As opposed to what came out in the media, which
was false.
And I,
nothing though. That's the, I've seen, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen people end up on the news, like people, and by all means, I wish they could have got help too because they was young. But when I was in the streets and when I was coming out, and I would see people on the news, and their parents said, oh, my son was a good boy. And I'm like, He was out there doing, and I knew him. I'm like, he was out there doing stuff. He was killing people. And I'm like, you sit on the news saying he was, he was the one that was called. He was the one. And then you see the ones who deserve the justice, who was actually, and then by all means, they deserve justice too. Because I wish somebody could have got a hold to them and helped them. I speak up for the gang members. I speak because all of them need God.
Yes. really to research and get the facts, talk to people who really know. They take rumors and run with it. I mean, the story that was told, and I looked online and I saw all the accounts from the news media, the network, TV shows and all of that, saying 21-year-old Genesis Escobar was 7 months pregnant, got shot while she was trying to rob some people. And I'm like, what? Who told me that?
Ask yourself, unless Genesis was like, this is what the Lord just gave me, like, okay, so in my own mind, I because I'm from the street, form these different things, right? So the only way, because think about it, she's 7 months, almost 8 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I can see a pregnant, seven, almost 8 months old, 21-year-old baby put in that situation is from, number one, a man that she was dating. That drug cut into. That's the number one thing I came up with.
And that happened.
Or the other one was that it wouldn't have been robbery. She would have been picking up a gun and holding it and did something to somebody, trying to do something like defending herself and her child. That's the only two things I can see. But
mm-hmm.
she wouldn't have, I don't see a 7-month-old pregnant being the one, even if a robbery, doing it herself or anything like that. I see her being dragged into that. Think about it, because ain't no woman going to put her and her child in a situation like that. You know, her friend said Genesis was, like, suicidal before she got pregnant, before she found out she was pregnant. So she had actually took bottles of pills and ended up in a mental institution that was going through all these different depression and panic attacks and stuff like that. You know, and then she found out she was pregnant. She found a reason to live. She found a reason to live. She like, I'm pregnant now. You know, now I can fight harder. Like, I got a reason to live. I got a reason to survive. And then Genesis, you know, mother and some other people were saying, like, you know, Genesis was, when she would go to the mental institution and when she went to juvie, she picked up the Bible and she was trying to get her life right. She was actually, you know, and her mother said, I can reveal this, like, she was asking her mother, and her mother regrets it. She started asking her mother, like, you know, can you take me to church on Sundays?
Mm-hmm.
And her mother regret because her mother said, no, I got to work. Genesis was crying out there. So, you know, I know for a fact Genesis did not rob nobody. You know, the reality what people don't want to say, see, let's be honest, see, you know, all police aren't bad, but there are some police that have passed to the game.
Yeah.
See, God said, I can say this because I'm protected. Mm-hmm. You know, one we tell the truth has a police, the young men who murdered her are gang members, and they already have killed other people. Let's be honest, though, today, I feel God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest how they have passed to these gang members, either number two, the two things. You scared of these gang members. That's why you keep letting them go, because then when they catch you coming outside, and then they don't kill you.
Mm.
Or number two, that you have ties with them, and they tear you off, and so you letting them go, because these are same boys, young boys, that's out here. They have killed other people. And you have other people who are scared to really speak up, so they're anonymously getting certain things done. Because they're like, nah, we scared to speak up, like, because these boys are still out here, and they're
right.
They're going to do something to us. So, tell me, does that sound like a young lady that was robbing somebody? No, that sounds like a young lady that ended up around some people because of one dude, because let's be honest, I'm going to reveal this too. And Genesis, she had a main boyfriend that, and I mean, people. I hope people get their life together because I want to see both of the young men, all the young men say, but let's be honest, when we do things, you do have to pay for what you have done. But I would love to see them say, I would love to see them get salvation. So one
That's
of the main boyfriend that she was with, like, he wasn't a gangbanger or nothing. Like, the boy she was actually with, that was her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a gangbanger, but he was violent.
Mm.
You know, like her daddy doesn't.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Like,
we repeat the pattern.
Abusing her while she's pregnant. And plus, she was not 100% sure if it was him or it was another boy she had messed with.
Mm.
They wish there was a baby there. The other one was a gangbanger.
Yeah.
The other one is on the streets. The other one don't get money like that.
Yeah.
But the other one, they say he's kind of more low, but he got money. He, you know, he works or whatever, but he just violent, like mentally. Like he abused her mentally and everything like that. But she was with him. That was her boyfriend. And the other one, she was kind of like, she believed he was more the baby daddy, and that's the one who reached out to her after all these months told, and they say he lured her away and said, I got some money for you.
Mm. And the next thing you know, so, she's dead.
She's dead.
Mm.
So there's different stories I'm hearing, but the main thing I realized is she was a gangbanger,
mm-hmm.
right? The main thing that I can see is, you know, either, because they said, this is what they said, that somebody came around the corner with a mask while she was in the car with them. And she got all, you know, and
mm-hmm.
so they was cross the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's either Genesis got caught up in the middle of a gang war, and that's how she was went out with the gangbanger, got in the car,
mm-hmm.
and she knew that it was too late. And so she felt something coming, and so she told the girl, like, if something happened to me, there's missing pieces, right?
Yes.
There's missing pieces that something happened, and Genesis ended up in the middle of it, but it was not a robbery.
And
right?
The fact that it was said to be a robbery, that sounds like a tactic to throw
people
off so that nobody will investigate, and everybody would just dismiss it as, oh, it's her fault. Well,
and let the gangbangers go on.
And let them go.
And they still out here, not so.
Mm-hmm.
When I got on that page, I rarely get on that page because it's so sad. And I've been seeing people getting, a little bit bothering me. But when I seen another young lady get killed, and I was like, man, that has something to do with the boys. We got women, you have to stop, that's out here in the world and even in the street, because everyone that's in the street, I mean, it's not just women that may end up in the street lifestyle. It's women that's part of the world. They still be dating these drug lords and different people ending up in these lifestyles.
Because, you know, these are men with money and they look like they're powerful because they got money and, you know.
But they ain't got the right to...
So
right.
Women who, like you say, the father wound, when you don't have the strong father in the home or
you got
an abusive father in the home, you go after a father figure, which, you know, ends up the man on the
kind
street.
Kind of sort of like your daddy.
Yeah, that's what ends
that's
up happening.
That's why our example was.
Yeah.
We date.
That's all
let's
you
be
know.
Honest, we date. And then we talk about this last time, but I believe we date. Who the example to us, like if my mother, father, you know, and that's, you know, people don't realize that.
Yeah, that's what it is. And so if we want to help, then just condemning somebody because they're out in the streets, that's not help.
I wasn't going to condemn them anyway because I remember how God saved me. So I don't care what she's out there doing. Jesus wants you to be saved. Jesus want to snatch your soul up. So it don't matter what point of view I'm coming from anyways when I see, because I remember when I was out there lost and I just was doing all types of stuff and I'm like, so either way I wasn't judging and condemning, like, you know, you judge fairly, like, okay, you know, judge fairly and everything like that, but like, because you need discernment.
Right. You know the behavior's wrong, but then you also know it's
way,
the spiritual reason behind the behavior. The person who's walking in darkness, they need light.
Exactly.
That's how we can help. Well, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back. And we want you to call in because we know there are a lot of young people out there that are crying out for help, not being heard, a lot of times being abused, and they can't reach out to anybody because the people who have the face of all the respectability might even be the ones abusing them. And because maybe they don't have money, maybe they're out living out in the streets, maybe they've committed some crimes, maybe they've done some time. And so they end up being treated like they don't matter or their voices don't matter. That's how a lot of young people feel, thrown away. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how to reach out to the soul that's in pain and needs somebody to have compassion. How do you bring somebody back from the darkness into the light and help them transform their lives and not just punish them for the mistakes they made when they didn't know better? We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard now and have something to say, press 1. And if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube on The Female Solution, feel free to write in your comments and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. I'm Naima Latif sitting in for Jody today as we talk about spiritual healing.
of Emotional Trauma, Part 2, Justice for Jessica. And we'll be for Jenison. Did I say that? Oh, that's what happened when you sit here without your glasses.
Hey, listen, that's for me too.
There you go. Justice for Genesis.
Yes.
With Jessica Ingram. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
People who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif with our host, Jessica Ingram, today, powerful young youth evangelist that is out here touching the hearts of those who have lost their way and need to find a way back to God. But often those who are in pain and suffering are condemned by a society that doesn't take the responsibility for having caused them the pain. Young people who are often in the news and in an unspoken way are the subject of the conversations when we talk about crime and violence. They have a story to tell. And perhaps we'll get an opportunity to listen after bringing to light the tragedy of the killing of Genesis Escobar, a 21-year-old woman who was carrying a child, 7 months pregnant, and shot to death and mischaracterized in the media as somehow having been at fault. But we need to hear her story, and we need to hear the story of all of those who are really crying out for help, but just not being heard. So here, if you're watching us, we have the picture of Genesis, a beautiful young lady. And, you know, we often assume that when a woman is young and attractive that, oh, well, how can she have any problems? Sometimes it's those who are having the most problems. Young women tend to be the most exploited, the most sexually abused, the most violated. And it's assumed that if you're out on the streets, oh, well, you know, she can make it. She's pretty. You know, she can get some man to take care of her. And that's what ends up happening a lot of times. Those who we think have no problems because they have physical attractiveness end up attracting men who take advantage of that father wound, that absent protector, and the next thing you know, they're abused, exploited, and misled. And then when a tragedy happens, we're lacking sympathy because we don't think they had any problems. How could they? She's young. She's beautiful. But that's the trap that so many fall into, and that's why we need to hear the story of Genesis and see where we may have actually been at fault. So, Jessica, what led you to decide to explore this when you heard this story of her killing and then saw all the meanness that came out in social media as the news reports start characterizing her as a robber in the street? You know, she's out in the street, she's with those men. Well, you know, that's, and we've heard this happen before when a young woman is killed and everybody says, oh, well, you know, she was hanging around with the wrong crowd. Well, that's what happens. And so sometimes older women are the worst ones. I'm listening to them attacking the young sisters who are struggling. And I've even had friends who had daughters that they had more or less.
Yeah,
and they said, well, she won't listen to me, and she got that, you know, she run around with that man, and he ain't no good, and I keep telling her, well, she won't listen. Well, whatever happened to her?
Listen, I had a young lady, actually, it's been a lot of young people from Genesis Death that have been adding me, and one young lady, she was inboxing me. That's her story. Like, she had to basically raise herself. My mama chose, was choosing different men over her.
That
you know what I mean? I think that the parents, I mean, I am calling parents to repentance, you know, and you know, and I'm speaking up on it, you know, as time go on, but we got to take accountability.
Yeah.
Right? So first of all, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to ask you a question. And I told God, I said, listen, I can't live without having children because having children is a huge responsibility. You have to make sure you cover that child, not just naturally, but spiritually. That's the main thing you got to do, because when a child is born, just like Jesus, just like Moses, they all, like, we have, God has given this the child a purpose, a mission in this earth, and everything. So you have to, you have to make sure the child knows their identity, so, you know what I mean, and knows their purpose on this earth so it can be filled out.
Yeah.
And you got to know how to protect the child spiritually, be in tune with true covenant with God, and also train that child up in the way they go, and when they get older, they will not depart from it. So this child needs to have a covenant with God so that they can be able to walk with the power of the Holy Spirit to get through this life.
Yeah.
And I say alive, to leave this life alive, meaning eternal life. Now, by all means, God do take some of these children, like, I'm just going to take you, and so you can come with me. I honestly believe, like, when Genesis' name was what stuck out to me. Like, like I said, I was on this one page, the legal law or whatever, where they post all these people that's dying. And majority of them are millennials, my generation, and Genesis generation. So I've seen people that I know on there. I've seen people that I've seen before when I was out there living worldly, right? Mm-hmm. And then I've seen people that, you know, you just see, you've seen their face somewhere, or you just see, you haven't seen their face before, but it's still familiar. And so all of those deaths, whether by suicide, whether by car accident, or whether by murder, or because see, all of them ain't getting shot. Some of them getting stabbed to death. Some of them are, you got people that's setting people on fire. Like, you know, people, and we want to, listen, it's looking like mental illness in the natural, but do you know Satan takes over people's minds? He's taking over our minds and getting us, and some people are literally possessed with the devil. Possessed by the devil.
So
think
you,
about it.
So when you have people that are, they're growing up in the environment of non-love, and the absence of love is the absence of God. So when you have a household situation where there is hostility, maybe the parents don't get along, or there's violence happening in the household, and there the child is, when you're a child, you don't have anybody to protect you from the
you
people in your house
for protection.
That,
yep.
Yes. So where can you turn for protection? You got to turn to the outside.
Yep.
And a lot of this stuff is generational. Like you say,
yep.
You have a mother who perhaps had a child by maybe somebody who didn't want her, and so she ends up bringing other men into the household, trying to survive, trying to get somebody to help her. Well, she brings somebody in the household that is not feeling fatherly toward her daughter, but sees her daughter as another opportunity. So,
listen.
How many
listen.
Women are turning the other way when boyfriends are messing with their daughter?
Think about that, them when they're having their kids at a young age as well. You're not mature. They say it's best for us to have our children while we were really young, but you're not even mature. You know, you're not even protecting. You're not even able to protect the child. Some people don't even believe their child. Like, you know, with me, like, oh, this and this happened to me. Even when I was growing up in foster care, I still was around people. People think just because you grew up in foster care, do you know they can put you with the worst of the worst? I've heard stories where people was put with low, like I'm talking about people that was below the poverty line in the foster home.
Yeah.
And you know, that affects you too, so it ain't no better.
Right.
You take me from my parents that I'm going through all this abuse, and then you put me with another family that's like in problems.
Right. And then looking
so it's messed up.
Yeah. And so a lot of this is what's happening. A lot of the young people that are in distress are coming from distressed families.
They're looking for hope.
And they're looking somewhere for love, for hope, for protection. And you talk about the street organizations, the gangs, a lot of times they're showing more love to that person than their family shows. They're showing more protection than their family shows. They're helping them to survive, and their family won't help
them
to survive.
And it's in the wrong way, too, though. It's in the wrong way.
It's in the wrong way.
Developing more anger issues, more mental problems, you know what I'm saying? And you always, because, you know, Genesis was suffering from PTSD, depression. Like, I'm talking about everything that I had to go. She was starting to go through disassociation at 13 right before her death, like disassociating, so she starts to become schizophrenic, you know, the world said, oh, schizophrenic, but she was going through all these spiritual things, so she started to so when you start to disassociate from, to try to escape, you know, that's when you start to go through the different schizophrenic, and that's why I was, I have words to explain now, like, I got to the point, I was walking down the street talking to myself, like, you know, because I'm disassociating. I'm trying to find a way to escape. That's what's really going on.
Yeah, reality's too painful, so you got to create your own reality. It's a lot of people in that state of mind.
And that was
because of what they're living with and that they can't escape. When you can't leave your abuser because your abuser is the one that's
inwardly, but it's tormenting you inwardly.
Yes. Yes.
You internalizing it. You don't know who to trust. You don't know who to adults. And let's be honest, we got to speak on this because we gotta repent. We got to repent. That's why I said, God, I'm good.
Listen,
too many youth and young adults out there need my help. I told God, you gave me a prophetic word, said I'm going to have some kids. You said they're going to be anointed. But I said, Lord, if you want to take that prophecy back, you can take it back. I'm for real.
Well, only when it's time. Like you say, you know, there are a lot of young men and women having children, and they're not, and they're still growing up themselves. They're still wounded themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of them come from parents that are wounded, parents who didn't know how to parent.
Need help already.
Yeah.
You know, they need places to go. You know, God says that I'm going to be able to, that there's going to be like, and I don't want to call it group homes, but I want to call it nurturing homes.
That's what's
you know,
needed.
I want to call it nurturing homes, create these different nurturing homes where
nurturing
these
homes.
Youth can come if they have an issue in the house or something going on. Because, see, rejection, the reason how somebody can start to go through these mental problems, start to disassociate from the very beginning, it is from abandonment. It is from rejection.
Yeah.
It is from being feeling like an orphan. It is from being neglected. It is from you're not getting attention that you need from your parents and family, and they only doing the best they can do because they got their own stuff. Because like we said, it's generational.
Yeah.
So you start to you don't even know you're looking for things through your own wounds. You don't even understand it. So you need the help that you need. And so God said, not group homes. They're going to be called nurture homes.
Yes.
We need so much money in this world. But you see how I'm looking at the politics. Y'all really sitting up there talking about a boot, talking about this, talking about that. What? You see all these people out here that need help. And it's not just you, because the parents need the help.
The parents
the
need help.
Need
that's
help.
Where
the
it starts.
Need the help. The families need help.
The families
people
need
help. Help.
And not punishment because they're in pain, because they're taking drugs to escape the emotional pain.
Yes.
See, how many years we've been putting people in jail for being drug addicted?
Yep.
When you take drugs, you're trying to escape emotional pain.
Yes.
So why are we giving people more emotional pain and psychological and physical
mess
pain?
Mess them up even more.
So they can come out of the prisons even
and
messed
do,
up more.
And do something horrible. I was watching this one story yesterday. I was going to the mentoring with the youth, and I walk into this gas station, you know, this little small little store. And I only think it's not a gas station, but it's like a little storefront thing. But it looked kind of like a gas station. It just doesn't have a gas station stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I went into there, and it's like all these people who have committed murders,
mm.
who have did different things. And this one lady, she looked so distraught. It looked like she was on drug stuff. And so the lady, she beat her mother to death because she was cheating
wow.
out of her disability check.
Wow.
I said, man, this lady, the love, I kept hearing the love of money is the root to all evil. You know what I'm saying? She was that mentally gone that you beat your mother to death.
Wow.
In her wheelchair because she was taking, she won, and then, so all of it was, both of them needed help. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, now she's in jail, right? And so when you think about all these people that's doing evil, that's doing wickedness, because let's be honest, anybody that ain't filled with the Holy Ghost and being operated by the Holy Spirit, we're all prone to do evil. It's a simple nature.
Mm.
We're all prone to do evil. You may not have to, kill somebody, but if somebody, or molested somebody, you may have not done that, but you committed fornication and you wasn't married. Or you snuck that in a bed with somebody's husband that don't belong to y'all. The Bible says we all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, but we all must be born again. We all must be truly born again and be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Period.
So now,
that's the only way you're going to survive this earth.
So now for those who may be listening and watching.
Yes.
And they see that there are young people out here making all kind of bad decisions. And yet we know that the Spirit of God is in them. It just has been misplaced.
Yes.
How do you touch the heart of someone who maybe a young woman who's out on the street, she's selling her body because, you know, maybe she's been put out the house.
Yes.
She's trying to eat. She's trying to, maybe she even got into drugs, trying to feed a drug habit. And so she's out there on the street, and that's her situation. And a lot of people will look down on such a woman and say, you know, oh, she's low, she's scum, she's nothing. And she's already feeling bad about herself. And she's feeling like, well, God can't love me because look at me. God won't even speak to me. How do you connect that person to God where they would even feel like they can pray and be heard? Because sometimes they feel so ashamed, like God won't even want to talk to me. I'm filthy.
I'm the one that God want to talk to.
So how do you help them understand that so they can at least begin the process of trying to reach out to God, trying to hear the voice of God, trying to learn to love themselves again.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So I always say there's a lot of people can't reach people in evangelism, especially a lot of people in the church, because they forget where they come from.
Mm.
And I'm relatable. You know, I automatically relate to them. When I walk up and God send me to walk up on, whether it's a prostitute, whether it's a drug, I relate to them. And I automatically, you know, the Holy Spirit leads me, and I tell them my truth. I tell them my story and how, you know, I was out there and I was doing all. The Holy Spirit begins to flow through me, and I'm always relatable. See, people, if I was in network marketing, they always say this: people don't want to hear you talk until you show how much you care about them.
Yeah.
And so I'm always relatable. You know, I'm always, a lot of people, they forget where they come from, or they, you know, I've seen people that's out there as well, and they may be a gamer, or they may be doing something else, and you looking down on a mentally ill person.
Yeah.
Or you looking down on the one, or you looking down on the drug addict, and I'm like, this is happening to me, I was on the train, but I'm looking at them, I'm like, hi, and you filthy yourself.
Mm.
You filthy yourself, you know, and so it's not until that self-awareness comes, they feel sorry for their sins, and they begin to repent, and they begin to break down, they begin to say, man, Lord, forgive me, because I was dirty too. So I'm always, I can't forget it, because I still got some things that God is still healing in me. The inner healing, because I'm free, but it's constantly updating, my mind and my emotions, and letting me know, listen, you're out of, because I was battling with complex PTSD, and it's not as severe as anymore. When I first got in this apartment, I would jump up out of my sleep. I'd be looking around like something was happening.
Wow.
And it was spiritual, though. Something was after me. It was, you know, it's like your mind, you're free, but your mind, when you come out of it, it has to be updated. To
you're free, you're protected. Yeah.
So it's dealing with those wounds. The Lord had to deal with those wounds, the mother wounds, the father wounds, the family wounds, the sibling wounds, the growing up in foster care. Like, I didn't trust. God is still healing me so I can gain more trust, because I be guarded. As soon as you do, I'm guarded.
Mm.
See, I be by myself. Like, as soon as somebody do something, I get guarded, because, like, I do still have a few triggers. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of my triggers have been healed, but I know all my triggers. And the last one, God is steady dealing with. You know, this is a journey. It's a spiritual healing journey. And so, you know, it's been relatable. And as an evangelist, I relate. I walk up with the one thing in mind, that this person needs somebody to relate to.
Yes.
Genesis needed somebody. I said, see, my grief was coming from, like, man, I was crying. And I'm like, man, Lord, I'm crying. This was my little sister.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It didn't get a chance to meet her.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, man, Lord, I wish I could have been a mentor, God. I wish I could have. Why didn't you put me in her path?
Yeah. Well,
I was crying, like, as if this was my daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lord, why is this? Why? God says, because you carried my heart, you carried my emotion. That's how I felt, because I was trying to reach Genesis.
Mm.
I was trying to, so I had to come to peace. God said, even though she went through, God said, I kept coming after her. I was reaching out to Genesis. And Genesis also was trying to get other people's attention, too. She didn't know how to explain it, but she was telling people, man, I want to go to church. Man, she was picking up the Bible, but maybe she couldn't understand it fully. Because, you know, without the Holy Spirit, you can't properly understand the Bible like that. You would be reading it from a carnal state.
Mm.
So I was like, Lord, I wish I could have been a mentor. But the Lord gave me peace and said, if it was meant to happen, I would have made sure you was in her path.
Mm.
I put other people in her path. And let's be honest, we do got to deal with this. People did let her down.
Yeah.
When she was crying out for help.
Yeah.
Right, when she was saying certain things that people was all just throwing out, oh man, she crazy. She needs to go. She needs to go get on some medicine. You just crazy.
And that's what happens too many times. We dismiss people. Yeah. We ignore them. They're crying out for help. And then when something happens,
we have the regret, and we gotta work through that. You know, if you just repent, That's repent, turn to God. Repentance, having a change of heart and fully turn to God and let God deal with that guilt. Let God deal with those wounds, because we all, I was feeling some type of guilt. Survival, I was having survival remorse, like, and the Lord, but automatically the Lord dealt with it. I said, Lord, I'm feeling survival remorse. I've never, you know, it was, and obviously it was packing up, because I never dealt with the survival remorse. Me making it out the streets, and I'm saying, all these people died, and God said, in the end, I must tell you this, that Genesis did make her decision, because I told, someone spoke and said, don't go over there with him.
Mm.
And she still decided to go.
That was
right?
A fatal decision, yeah.
Genesis, God did, because Genesis, God was speaking to Genesis as well personally, but Genesis didn't know God's voice.
Right.
Right? So God had to speak through people, and some of them wasn't saved. God still can be speaking through people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they the gifts of call is coming out of repentance, and so they get saved. So that young lady who told her, please don't go over there with him. Don't, you're good. Like we.
That was that last warning that she didn't heed.
She didn't take heed.
Yeah.
So I had to, and the Lord gave me peace. I said, we do, and God said, you listen, because I had a listening issue. I still got to been dealing with it on this side. Not listening. It's that rebellion. Not listening. And making the wrong decision. So in the end, God definitely warned Genesis to leave that. Don't go over there with that dude. Don't go. God was speaking through other people, even if they. And yeah, it was hard for Genesis because she was battling with that orphan, that abandonment, that rejection, that thinking. Sometimes I got it myself, because you get in that subconsciously. So God was speaking through people. And we said, Genesis, please don't go over there with him. Like, just, you good. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go, because the dude reached out to her, they say, to give her money.
Give her some
money, all these months.
But, I mean,
that's not fishy.
Of course, you could see how she would respond. You know, you're pregnant, and who knows, might need
she
things.
She needed that money or whatever, needed
herself,
and then everything, so. But somebody definitely told her, please don't go over there. Like, don't go over there with him. Was trying to get her not to go. And she went. And so Genesis did not listen, and she did make a decision. But at the end of the day, Genesis deserved, just because she, let's be honest, her mind was not fully developed, right? And there are, I'm speaking to another young lady, and her mind is half developed. But everybody sometimes develop different. Two mama said that developmental. And so I just believe if Genesis in that time would have listened to that person, let's be honest, Genesis still would be here.
Yeah.
Her friend, the one friend who,
the,
I don't know,
the one
name,
friend
I,
that
don't want to be revealed,
since,
but they said, don't go, stay with me. Or stay where you at, right?
Yeah.
Wherever she was at, stay where you at. Don't go.
You don't need his money. But she felt that she did. And when you're a young woman, when you feel like you
vulnerable,
don't have, yeah, you're vulnerable,
help.
You don't have any support, you don't have guidance, you make the best decisions you can. Sometimes they're bad decisions, but those are the only ones you can make because you don't know.
That's another thing I was battling with. Like, Lord, I made probably more mistakes than her. But God, you know what the Lord told me? God told me that. And the Lord also said, I got to say it, that Genesis means beginning, means origin, that this is the start of something. That Genesis, I do believe that Genesis was talking to the Lord and praying to the Lord, because Genesis knew, she picked up the Bible when she got in Judy. She picked up the Bible when she got in the Methodist institution. So Genesis probably had her own relationship with God in the way she knew how to. So I believe that Genesis knew to call on Jesus and knew to ask God for her forgiveness. I honestly believe that, right? And I believe that God allowed Genesis, like, I'm going to take you now.
Yeah.
Because she didn't, I'm going to take
bring
you now.
Bring you on home.
The young lady,
This
is, if something happened to me, this is who did it, and she ended up dead hours later. I believe that God was dealing with Genesis in those moments, right? Because she knew who Jesus was, right? She probably didn't know the fullness of it, but I'm sure she knew. I'm sure she heard of the repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, now you know what the Lord reminded me, that warning comes before destruction. The Lord said that he wishes that no one perish. God said that Just like how many, there was a lot of people who walked up to me and gave me the gospel. Some people I didn't listen to, and some people, eventually I did, but I still heard it. So maybe that was still an impact. I heard them talk about Jesus. I heard them, even if it was probably in a kind of like a religious type of way, like, yeah, you need to repent, and you need to come out of that. Let's be honest, the one dude that be downtown, the older man, they be like, and you're going to hell if you, let's be honest, that still was the gospel. I ain't gonna lie, that still was the gospel, so that stuck with me. So now when I walk past, he just be like, because he can see the light on me now, right? So let's be honest, if that still was, when I think about it, that still was a part of my salvation, even though it was kind of like, yeah, if you don't stop doing this, you're going to go to hell. He was the older man. And you know, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If you're doing this, if you're fornicating, you're going to go to, you know, so it was.
And he's been out there a long time, but you know, I was.
He's been out there a long time. I'm sure a lot of people that got saved when you think about it. So, you know, so let's be honest. Even if I was like, I ain't receiving it, but, like, my spirit was, like, listening to it, though. Like, so it's still, when I walked past, I said, I remember that day I was part of my salvation, though. Right? So I did hear a lot of different people. I'm like, man, I ain't trying to hear what you're trying to say, right? I'll listen to the people who came more humble. But when I think about it, y'all, as I look back over my story, let's be honest, those are two people who were the last people who led me to the Lord. All the people that I heard the gospel through, even on TDJ, Joyce Myers, right, Joel Osteen, when I think about it, I still was listening to that.
Yeah, everybody had an impact. So that's why it's important. If you have a calling to speak, you don't know who's listening. You don't know whose life you may contribute to their change.
Even though they brought, but your spirit listens to it. You still heard it. It still has came across your ears. So when I see that, man, I'm like, he just be like, he'd be shaking his head like, because he could see the light of God on me now, right? Mm-hmm. So he was a part, when I think about it, he was a part of my salvation. And that's, you know what I'm saying, that's still somebody's father, grandfather. He got drenched in it. And
that's,
he'd be
powerful.
Writing that, but he didn't get beat up before, and guess what? He's still writing.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. Somebody attacked him. Yeah, but he's still there. He's still there.
And I'm sure a lot of souls, because I've seen a post, and I'm going to say this, I've seen a post that was talking about him. It was another Christian. And everybody was in the comments like, hey, but listen, let's be honest, he was a part of my salvation, though. He was. So what I'm saying is, God, I'm trying to get into this. Genesis definitely heard the gospel many a times, God said. So Genesis, I honestly believe, because if she knew to tell the girl, she probably didn't know the day or the hour. She didn't say, if something happened to me, she probably didn't know the hour it was getting ready to happen, right?
Yeah.
She didn't probably know the moment, but she felt like, if something happened to me, this is the person who did it, right? And she knew, and the person would tell her, don't go, like, don't, right? And so I believe that Genesis knew to call on the name of Jesus, knew to repent of her sins, because somebody told her, listen, Jesus, repent. She received it at that time, but God said, there were many people when she was out in the street that walked up to her and told her, that gave her the gospel, that told her how to repent of her sins. So I'm sure that she did that before that she was murdered, and God said that Genesis, God said, I told her mother to name her this, even though she probably don't understand why she named her that. And God said that, you know, her work is complete. Genesis' work is complete, and God said that this is the origin of a thing for a lot of youth all around the world, young adults and youth, to get saved, even parents, and even for her family to be saved. God said that I'm going to heal her mother, and I'm going to use her mother as a testimony, and I'm going to use her story, that her mother is going to be saved, and her siblings are going to be saved. And God said, I'm going to use her siblings for my glory. The Lord said that this is for her family to be saved. So Genesis' work is complete. You know, Genesis' work is complete. Genesis' work is complete. Genesis was going through things. Genesis was going through things mentally. She went through a lot. She didn't get the help she needed. She was crying out for help, and she didn't know how to come out of rebellion.
Yeah.
And no, she did not take heed. But sometimes when you're so deep in rebellion, God is like, I just got to take you, right? So, but God said, this is the origin. This is the beginning of something. And Genesis will see justice. The narrative will be changed. And this is what I'm calling. Y'all got to pray. Because, see, if the cops don't get a hold to the young men who did it, God said that something is going to happen to them out in the street. There will be street justice that will be had, right? That's what the Lord told me. The Lord said that street justice will be had if he does not get a hold of their heart, because God is chasing after them. I've been praying. I Holy Spirit, arrest the people. Holy Ghost, arrest them right where they at. Where they at? I said, Lord, give the young man or the young men who murdered Genesis. I said, Lord, may your Holy Spirit come over them and give them an encounter that will break them down to their knees, and they will surrender, and their soul will be saved, and Jesus will come into their heart, and may the Spirit of truth overtake them where they will come and tell on themselves. Make sure they could save their soul and make them go and tell on themselves. But God says that he's chasing after them right now. But God says that if they don't surrender, something is going to happen to them. So I'm praying that street justice don't be had. But God says if they don't repent, because he said, I'm after them. I'm warning them. God says I'm warning them to go tell. God said I'm warning on them to surrender to me and to tell the truth. But God says if they don't, they're not going to make it up out the streets, God says, because they were wrong for murdering Genesis and lying and covering up. And then the police who did it, that did not investigate, God says, tell them to repent. God said, when you go forth, tell them to repent. God said, call for nationwide, worldwide repentance. For parents, for the police, God said that they need to repent. Because God said, do not, that was still his a soul.
Yes.
That needed help. God says to repent for covering up this.
That's right.
God said, you knew you were wrong for doing it. God says that the people, as I'm speaking out, God says, they know who they are.
They know who they are. They know what they did.
They know who you are.
Yes. You know who you are. You know
who
you are.
They know who they are. So God is on my side. So that's what the Lord is saying. So Justice of Genesis, the narrative will be changed because we fight for that man Naima. Naima is on my side. We making sure nobody's coming in that's corrupted. And so that, you know, and so we're going to fight. We're going for. And so the narrative will be changed. But I'm just praying that the justice, the street justice, don't be had, because God already spoke to me clearly. If they don't repent and turn, that they will not make it up out the street alive. That they need to turn themselves in and tell the truth. Here's the thing, another thing God told me too. They're going to end up doing something else. And their life is going to be over with. They'll be in jail for the rest of their life. Even if, guess what, even if it ain't on Genesis, that we will see justice, the Lord says. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. That's what the Lord said.
There it is.
So, yeah.
All right. We got to take another break. We're going to come back and talk about who is willing. Though all these elected officials, all of these who are speaking about, they want to help you, all those who want to run for mayor of the city, who is going to speak up for justice for Genesis? And who is willing to call for that investigation that will bring the truth? And who is willing to clear her name? And who is willing to reach out and help? We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our Tuesday host, Jody, of Self-Care with Jody Susan, always giving us information and insight about healing. Well, in this three-part series on spiritual healing of emotional trauma, we're exploring part two and looking at a case of 21-year-old Genesis Escobar, who was shot and killed, and the news media widely reported it as she was in the midst of robbing someone. So her death was basically dismissed as, well, you know, that's what happens when you're in that life. And we're concerned that there won't be a real investigation because of that false story that was given. And, you know, this is not the first time that has happened where a young lady's been killed and people chose to say it was her fault. And we may remember back in 2013, Hadiya Pendleton was shot and killed. And this was January 29th. She was standing with some friends outside in the park. She's a student at 15-year-old student at King College Prep High School, and she was shot and killed. First thing, the news media said, "Oh, she was with a group of gang members, and it was, you know, gang violence, and she was caught in the crossfire, and she was part of that life." They had told this whole story about this young lady, so that people could just dismiss her death. Oh, another one of these, you know, wow, young people. And then the truth came out about her. She had just come back from the inauguration of President Barack Obama, performing with her high school dance team for his inauguration. She was an honor student. And they were standing in the park after they had just finished taking final exams. And so that whole story about her just being somebody out there hanging around gang members, oh, that's what happens, all of that was false. And her mother came forth and fought and made sure that the media understood the story. But even more, her mother and father and her little brother, they have been championing the cause of young people and violence. And an organization was founded called Project Orange Tree to really tell the story about what's happening in the streets among the young people. And they told a story about that incident that we didn't hear. Yes, the young men who shot her, and they eventually caught them. But they were shooting at somebody as a retaliation for some violence that killed one of their friends. Street justice. But they were grieving. And one of the things that their peers said, you know, if they had gotten help for their grief, maybe they would not have moved to retaliate. And then a person who was not involved would not have been shot and killed. So one of the things that was said at Hadiyah Pendleton's funeral was that her death had a purpose, and it was to bring to light the deaths of all these young people, and all of it is attached to some pain that's not being heard. And so she is the voice of the generation that we have neglected. And her mother said a strange thing. She said she had this strange feeling the day that Hadiyah had been killed. She hadn't even heard of it, what had happened. But she had this feeling come over her that something had just been completed. Something that had been needed to be done was done. And later she realized that her daughter's life was for the purpose of her bringing to light the tragedy of our youth. And so her death happened in such a way to awaken a nation. So our life and our death and our sacrifice are all for the sake of God. And when we know that God's purpose is to bring us all back to God, bring us back to the love of God, bring us back to a relationship with God. Sometimes the tool that's used is a person's tragic death to awaken those who are left so that they can transform their lives. And so I see the same in the case of Genesis. This is the beginning of an awakening so that we can see these young people for more than just a problem they're creating. They're out of control. They're out here gangbanging. They're doing crime. What is the origin of that pain that's led them to the life they're living? What's happening in the households with the parents? What's happening in the schools with the teachers? What's happening in the streets with all the adults that's supposed to be protecting young people? Are we really protecting them? Or are we just causing them more pain? Are we really providing for them encouragement, opportunities for growth and creativity? Or are we keeping them in a state of stress and distress, living in households where parents are full of emotional distress because they're always afraid of getting put out in the street because they're losing jobs or having their cars taken away because they don't have money to pay for tickets, they don't have money to pay for groceries, they don't have money to pay for health care, they don't have money to pay for their child's toothache or get them some eyeglasses, and they're under constant distress, and they get penalized for not having money. So what message is that given to the young person? Oh, if I can just get some money, I can solve all our problems. And so they turn to the streets to try to get the money that it's needed for survival, but the only avenue that they have is what we would say is wrongdoing, whether it's selling drugs or even robbing grocery stores, whatever they end up doing because they have not been shown another way. Who created that situation? We're the ones who refused to make it possible for them to live in dignity. We did that. And now we want to blame them because they're in pain. We want to blame the people who are suffering and trying to alleviate the emotional pain by taking drugs. So we want to throw them in jail. And then we want to throw in jail the people who make money off of selling them drugs. And who really created the problem in the first place? Let's look at ourselves. All of the ones who are asking for votes, saying they can solve the problems of crime and public safety. Look at yourself. Are you really proposing something that can help? Or are you proposing something that's just going to cause more pain? Every being is a child of God? Are you proposing something godly? Are you proposing something loving? Or are you proposing something that's just going to cause more pain, more hurt, more damage, and never solve the problem? We're going to ask you. And we want you to have the courage to speak up for justice for Genesis. So one of the things we are looking for is some real answers and some real investigation, but most of all, some real change in the lives of these young people. So Jessica, what's the one thing, or maybe several things?
First of all, that was so beautiful.
Well, you know, came from the heart. I just, you know, just let the spirit speak through me and say what needs to be said.
We could tell when people real impact, when like you could tell when a person really is like cares, like whatever position they in, and you could tell when a person you don't. I don't know, you know.
Yeah,
that was
beautiful. Yes, and Viata, our Friday host, who does Health and Well-Being every Friday, says, thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Queens, for your transparency. Yes, and I think you telling your story helps a lot of people who might be condemning themselves, because we've all been through a time of ignorance where we made bad choices. But we got to forgive ourselves, and then we got to reach back and help those who are still struggling and let them
forgive
know.
Forgive yourself. God will forgive you. And God will take you through that process to forgive yourself, and then God will set you on fire and use you, because we all need Jesus.
Yes, and Viata is about karma, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so these brothers out here, look, you've been given the warning. You need to turn yourself in, because what's coming back at you?
And God is warning them, though.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Lord woke me up, and I'm like, I'm weak. And the Lord says, oh, yeah, you're in the right place, because now that you're weak, I can be made powerful in you. The Holy Spirit can be made powerful in you. And the Lord said, listen, I'm going to tell you, daughter, if they don't repent and if they don't turn to me.
Yes.
Like before the cops get them, if they don't take heed, because God said I'm dealing with them, I'm after them, and if they don't surrender, and if the cops don't end up getting them, God is going to give them over to a reprobate mind for what they have done, and we already know what that happens. The devil is already, you know what I'm saying? And here's the thing: it's people that love Genesis.
Yeah.
I don't know everybody. And there are people who didn't even know Genesis that love her, and they see the story. And some of them is in the street life. Some of them, because there's some people out in the street life like, man, don't mess around with a pregnant woman. Don't mess around with a woman, and don't mess around with a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
So you think, like everywhere I've been going, I was in a restaurant, and I just was crying. Like I went to go eat, so he feel bad, and I couldn't help. I'm just like, I got to get up out of here. I can't eat my food. I got to take my food with me. And the one boy, he was young, he was like, continue to use that passion to fight for the right thing. But he said, when I seen it on the news, he said, I knew. He said, there's more to that story.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody been saying it like, nah. People with common sense, they ain't just evil and just wicked and just go off their, they like, something ain't right.
Something ain't right about that story. Ain't no 7-month-old pregnant woman going to be out robbing no people. I mean,
come on now. They don't even sound right.
That don't sound right. You know, I mean, I've been pregnant. I know what that, you know, hey, look, yeah, I gave birth.
Like,
I know.
That's what made me stop at the story. I'm like, I went on the page, and I just felt led. The Lord said, go on this page. I was like, okay, go see you update. And it stopped at Genesis, and I seen the comments of stuff they were saying, like, you know, she deserved to die. Like, I'm just summarizing just all the story. Some people said, good. Now God took a baby. I'm just like, y'all, wow. First of all, this is a 21-year-old baby.
Yeah.
I'm like, and y'all just, but I guess y'all ain't never did nothing to y'all like too. But at the end of the day, the Lord just was like, the Lord ended up telling me that's not the full story. But in my mind, the first thing my mind went through with my own mind was like, if she did something like that, somebody dragged up to that, and it was a dude, and she wasn't the one who did it.
Right.
But I'm like, that don't sound right, though.
Yeah.
Just imagine that, the way they put it. She was sitting in the other seat, and the boyfriend was the baby daddy or whoever was like stick him up, and then he and the dude, whoever it was, and it was a drug, transaction, and then he ended up killing her, and the baby daddy got away, and she fell off the car, and the money flew on her, and he got away. I'm like, that don't even sound right. And I'm like, first of all them, and y'all come up some good, glad that the dude retaliated. I'm like, if this you said that all this happened, dude, that was wrong too from buying drugs.
Really. There are no right people in this. The whole situation was bad. It was, you know,
that situation, all of them was wrong. But and then saying the baby daddy left her to die, I said, you know what? I just heard the Lord say the entire thing is false. This baby did not rob nobody, and it just don't even sound right. Like it just they also said, like, oh, somebody else told me this, but I don't know how true it is. They said she did have so. They said that was her own money, and that she was going to get some extra money. So that was her money already that flew out and landed on her. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this is the other story I'm hearing, that they was trying to rob her, and so when they realized she was shut up, that's what they said. That's why we got to really get to the truth. They threw out the car and threw the money on her because they had blood on it, so they couldn't use the money that they wanted to rob her of. So I don't know if the dude sent over there for a setup, but what I'm saying is this: it's either that happened or the main thing that always happens, like what happened to Hadia. She ended up, well, this time, you know, she went out there with the dude, and she ended up in a crossfire. That's the main thing that I can think of, that she ended up with the dude, going out with the dude, and
she got shot in the crossfire, somebody after him.
Said, don't go with him. You know, you already know what type of lifestyle you live. You good without him. You've been good without him all this time. Don't worry, because they also said that they really believed that, she really believed that he was the one that was her baby daddy. That's why the other dude, this is what they said, the other one she was with was treating him bad, because he kind of figured, anyway, like, this is not my baby. So that's why he's treating her even more worse. So that's just what I believe. And she went out there, and it was, and they gangbangers. And somebody they rode up and they started shooting, and it was a crossfire, and she won it, because they said she was shot in the back of her, some in her head and her back, so you know she was trying to get away. She was trying to get out the car. So I honestly believe that Genesis was caught in a crossfire.
Yeah, if somebody gets shot in the back, that means they were trying to leave.
She was trying to get out the car and get away. So I believe that this is what I honestly believe. I believe that Genesis, her friend told her not to go with the dude. You know how he lived. You don't need the money. She went anyway and thought she was going to be able to make it away, get the money, talk to him. Because they also said that she really believed he was the one, even though she was stuck between two. And she said if he was the one, she was going to put him on chest support, because he ain't got no money like that the way he lived, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So she went over there today to talk and everything. She was in the car with them. And yeah, she got caught up in a crossfire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they gangbangers. So that's what I honestly believe what happened. And this is what I believe, that the dudes, they knew as the crossfire was going on, she was getting hit from all type of ways, because she was in the way probably, right? And they was shooting back, and they shot her in the back. Because how she get shot in the back of the head?
Right. Somebody had to be behind her. Right. Yeah.
So she was taking crossfire from both ends. So she was the one that ended up dead. And now they trying to cover it. Right? And so that's what they told the police, and about them being gangbangers, you know.
Yeah.
The police, that's their stuff.
Okay, well,
that's
probably
what happened.
Yeah, and I'm sure that happens a lot, where things just get dismissed. Oh, you know, gang warfare, crossing the crossroads, gangs, all that. So when people hear that, they stop thinking. It's like, oh, well, that's that life, that's what happens, oh well. And then there's no more investigation into it, and that's why.
Because they don't care for gangs.
They
the
don't
whole time,
care.
Let me say this, though. All y'all behind Lil Durk in the city, man, I was looking on, and I feel for Lil Durk. I love Lil Durk, and I want Lil Durk to repent and truly come to Jesus Christ, because you know how big he can be, and a lot of souls can be saved. You have an organization called Neighborhood Heroes, and you are still making this music with gangbanging in it. But you saying you got this organization in Chicago called Neighborhood Heroes for society change. But like, they don't even sound right to me. How you out here? You trying to change the hood, but you it's just
positive.
Like,
but
it baffles me. Like,
you have a lot of people who are influenced by music, glorifying it. Yeah.
And you ain't a hero. You can't save nobody. See, I'm calling out. You can't save nobody. You ain't no hero. Anyway, it's Jesus is the hero.
Yeah,
and you
better
repent, because in your song you said you don't believe in Jesus. See, you be talking about Jesus, but the only sin that's unforgivable is when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. So he ain't did that yet, but he still got hope to be saved.
So would you say his music attracts young people who might be confused, looking for, you know, wanting to feel like they're part of something, want to feel like they're powerful, part of the gang life, they romanticize it, you know. And
let me say, when I was out there, a lot of boys that was around me gang banging and stuff, because, you know, that's who I was around, that's who I dated, they would be, before they go and do a hit, guess what songs they would listen to? Chief Keef. The different that before they to get amped up, they listen to their music.
Wow.
So God said, a little dirt and Chief Keef, they have a lot of blood on his hands, and I'm sure he's probably feeling guilty. That's why he created this organization. But you gotta repent. And I'll walk up on him, Jamal Green. I love Jamal Green. We gonna be writing down on him because I love everybody. But I'm calling everybody to repent. Lil Durk, you need to repent. Lori Lightfoot, how you sit up there? You say you proud of him and you know he the issue. See, that's why I'm calling people out. I'm calling people out. So,
take
they
responsibility
sent the pictures of
your
the man, the boy who was supposedly, the boys who was a part of killing Genesis. I got pictures of them. And on one of the little pictures, they screenshotted it. They got a gun. They got a gun with all their stuff on, and a little Durk song is playing.
So there you have it. Everybody who's a part of all of these tragedies, look at yourself. Because this isn't just one person, this is a whole society. Everybody plays a part in a murder, either by what we do or what we fail to do. But we're collectively responsible for the death of Genesis and so many others.
Yeah. And I feel for Lil Durk because I'm telling him this out of love, because you can't tell nobody, listen, to repent. Repent means to change your ways. A person that loves you will tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, I come from where Lil Durk come from. Like, my daddy was a gangbanger. My daddy was one of the Moes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I actually can feel Lil Durk's pain. Like, I know you're a product of the environment, and I know, but this trying to change Lil Durk, because Lil Durk and most of all the young adults and youth follow him. I'm actually a Lil Durk and Chief Keef. Like, I'm telling them this out of love, because my dad was a gangbanger, one of the most, ran with Jeff Ford. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I come from around, I made it out of there. So, if anything, Lil Durk needs to hear from somebody that came from where he come from.
Yeah.
Whether female or male.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we all got the same issues. Like, it don't matter if I was a female. Like, I still was battling with the same lust you was battling with. Y'all calling us thoughts and whores. But lust don't have a gender.
Absolutely.
Right? Mental health issues don't have a gender, right?
Right.
Perversion does not have a gender. Like, it does not discriminate. So
same
lust you was dealing with, it can be in a woman. So I'm calling for Lil Durk too. While you call it women's thoughts, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what, and then you probably talking about your mama too.
Mm.
Your mama probably was a thought. Oh, I'm sorry for saying it like that. I'm just saying.
Well,
but
you know,
but
the way men treat women is a reflection of the relationship they have with their mother.
With their mother, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not calling his mother out of this.
So
respect.
all women, though, if you got sons, you got to look at how are you influencing your son,
because
your son is reflecting
son
what they
was doing.
Experience.
I mean, his mother probably was like that, and I'm not judging her, because guess what? She probably was sexually abused. She probably was being raped on.
That's
somebody
how it
was
happened.
Probably awakened love before it was time. So Lil Durk, I'm calling for him to repent. God said that they better
repent. We have
repent.
Generations of pain. Generations of pain of women, and then women who are in pain cause pain to men, and then the men cause pain to women, and it just goes on and on and on. It's got to stop. And there is a healing. It's a spiritual healing that we all need. And that's
a true spiritual healing, not what Lil Durk doing, because he ain't going for no spiritual healing at all.
A true spiritual healing from the one that heals the soul. We got to take a last break, and we got some callers on the line. We're going to come right to you
after this break, so stick and stay, don't stray away. We'll be back after this last break, so we want you to stay with us.
Hi, this is John.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Global radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our Tuesday host, Jody. She'll be back in a few weeks, but we're on part two of Spiritual Healing of Emotional Trauma. And today we're talking about justice for Genesis, a young woman slain on the northwest side of Chicago and mischaracterized as a robber, when in fact there's another story, and we're going to get to the bottom of it and expose the truth so we can have justice for Genesis. So we've got some callers here on the line, and let me open the mic, 312-671 and then 773-977. Anybody else on the switchboard got something to say, please press 1 so we can make sure you have time to speak and ask your question of our guest, Jessica Ingram. Go right ahead. We got Minister.
We're on Yard Shalom. Yes. God bless you. Wayon Yah Shalom and Assalamu Alaikum to you, family. How you doing, Sister Naima and Jessica?
Hey,
and grateful.
Bless.
Hallelujah. Hey. Yes, I just want to say thank you so much for Justice for Jessica. And I'm working with a group of sisters
right.
That is just
Genesis.
Us.
Genesis is the sister that we're getting justice for. Justice
right.
Getting justice. So it's Justice
okay.
for Genesis. Yes.
Well, we would also like to support, especially because she's in Chicago, you know, and we are against all violence. When I say we, we're talking about the Harold Washington Foundation and also the People's Marching Corporation. One of the ways that we are working on it, you know, stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, and the looting, and the hijacking in Chicago right now is with the Artists for Brandon Johnson, Mayor of the City of Chicago Music, and that's his campaign for 2023. And we are inviting all artists this Sunday, which is the 26th, and also today, which is Tuesday, at Lake Grove Village. And that is 3515 South Cottage Grove. And today is 6:58 to 9 p.m., and then Sunday is going to be from 2:30 to 4:30. And for more information, brothers and sisters can go to my Facebook page, and you're going to see Brother Plump, Robert Plump is promoting artists for Brandon Johnson. And you will, can also...
Minister
yes,
Plump,
ma'am.
I hope that these artists can demonstrate what real love music sounds like when we can put music out that
isn't about violence and everything, it's sexual.
Yes.
You're right.
People to kill, because we need to we need a sound to counteract the sound that's
what's
being
going
in the airwaves.
Add on to it, yeah.
So when
you're 100%, Sister Naima. You know, we promote the God movie music. You know, God
Amen.
Music
oh,
is the spiritual
hallelujah.
Music. Okay?
Yes.
Hallelujah, yes. So our brothers and sisters can go to our Facebook.
Jessica's also an artist, so.
You know, I just graduated from Columbia College.
Yes.
I'll be walking across stage.
Oh, right. I went to Columbia College myself. And we studied, you know, Bob Marley and the Wailers. See, we got the original authentic music and the music that came from Mayor Harold Lee Washington campaign. And brothers and sisters can go to Cash App, $ Robert F. Plump, and call me at 312-671-2773. Win,
right.
Brandon, Johnson, win music. So I would like for her to be my guest. If she can come today or Sunday at Lake Grove Village. Thank you so much. God bless you. We love you.
What time is it today again, Minister Plump?
Yes, it's from 6:58 Tuesday today, from 6:58 to 9 p.m. at 3515 South Cottage Grove. And brothers and sisters got to call me either because we're going to have either I'm going to come to the door or the security. At 312-671-2773. Thank you.
All right. I'll make sure I text her your number also so she has their information. Thank you so much, Minister Plump. Stay on the case. We appreciate you. And let's go to 773-977, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on the female.
God's been so good. Thank God for everyone today. Glory to God. You know, we have to just realize the things that are happening in this world. And to be alive, to even hear the words that have been spoken today on the station. I just said hallelujah. Thank you. Now, the Escobars, you know, I once worked with a supervisor with the Department of Public Aid, and her name was Carol Escobar. And Carol was married to this drug dealer, big time drug dealer. I remember them coming into our office over there on Michigan, taking Carol away for questioning or whatever. But anyway, I believe he even escaped from from prison or something. They were really looking for him or something. So you can look it up. And so another person I recall, Chiquita Tate, an attorney in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 34 years old. You know, we can all go back to even Emmett Till. But Genesis, yeah, Genesis is probably, they're all under an oath. I believe they're under an oath. And even just like Matilda, what can we do about this? I really know that God is in control. And we must repent, yes, but I believe that most of our problems are coming from the police officers. And it always has been. They used to hang us. We're really blessed, and we don't realize it. Because God is still in control. No matter what they do, how they do it, he's still feeding us. He's providing a roof over our heads. Those of us who were lucky enough to get a husband to help, that's fine. But those of us who were not, God still did it. And he's going to keep on doing it. So I thank you for this time. And I know that if we're going to do anything, we must continue to pray. And young lady, I remember Mr. Ford, Jeff Ford. When Jeff Ford was going around and the other disciples or whatever they had around here, the senior citizens were protected. You didn't have to worry about nobody hitting you in the head or what have you. You know, they started the guardian angels. And what happened? The police officers started killing the guardian angels and getting away with it. And they've been doing it. They're going to continue doing this. We can talk, even if we find out the bottom line of what happened to Chiquita Tate. I think her husband is serving 40 years in jail for her murder, and they stabbed her 40 times in her office, a black attorney, okay? And they called her a bulldog in the courtroom. So Genesis was involved with something probably from way back when, and that's the way they've been doing it since they took us out of the cotton fields. They found another method of still getting us. And so we must pray. We must repent. We must love one another and do the best we can while we can. Because all of us are going to have to make a transition one day. But, you know, we don't want to go right now. I don't know anybody who's in a hurry to go. You know, I don't think they loved anybody enough to say, well, I'm going over there where he is and she is.
Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be here no more.
Yeah, when life gets so bad.
When it comes to the police, like, God says that, let me tell you something. A lot of people don't even know the stuff that's getting ready to come on us, or another pandemic is getting ready to come in, and you're going to see more people die than what you've seen die. I'm telling you what's to come. God says that this world is going to bow to their knees. Every knee will have to bow, and every tongue will have to confess. Jesus is still coming back. So when you study the word of God and you see what's coming to pass, the sign is now. God says that he's calling this world to repentance. God is calling it. Repentance is change. And you think that the cops is getting away with something, got away with something, they ain't got away with nothing. Yeah, there are systems, foster care system, the police system, the prison system. But God is calling people, he's giving people a chance. Because you're going to see people start dropping dead. You're going to see stuff happening to people. You're going to see huge leaders getting up out of here. And guess what? A lot of them ain't going to heaven if they don't repent. So at the end of the day, you think people are getting away with wickedness, they're not. And guess what? When it comes to like, slavery and all this stuff, at the end of the day, I know what's going on, but, like, we were the chosen people, and guess what? We ended up in a lot of things that we were not supposed to end up in because of disobedience. From the very beginning, it was because humans was disobedient, and they wanted to sin. We be wanting to do what we want to do. So, you know, my mind is, like, on a whole other level and stuff like that. Like, I'm talking about the stuff that's going on now. I didn't live back during that time, right? But at the end of the day,
I can remember back in the day when we organized a little league baseball team, and we were all at the park for the final. Well, they're going to get a trophy, whoever won the game, and so the little team was, our team was playing, and I was rooting for the Saints. And this man told me, you better not get up and say anything else about that group beating my son. And Mr. Ford was standing behind him. He said, wait a minute. He said, she can root for whoever she wants to, and you better not say nothing else to her.
I know what you mean about the
end of the game. They got the trophy, too. Okay, I'm sorry.
But yeah. That ain't ain't me. I don't care. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to die. I ain't got nothing to live for. The only thing I can live for is Jesus. I ain't scared of no white man. I ain't scared of to see. I ain't fully black.
I will give them my
was white and then an Indian. I'm really Indian Cherokee. So at the end of the day, I ain't scared of no white, no black, no. Because at the end of the day, guess what? It ain't just the white whoever. I get more racism from, you know, black people. My own people out here killing each other. You putting fear in you. You better not say nothing. I don't care about a gangbanger. I don't care about a white politician. I'm talking about the spirit that operates behind me because I have the spirit of God in me. I don't care about that. I can go anywhere I want to because I am a child of God. I'm a kingdom citizen. So ain't nobody going to tell me to shut up. And guess what? If I die, at least I die for something. I would not be afraid of the one that has the power to kill this body, but I'm afraid of the one who has the power to send me to hell. So I don't care. Ain't nobody going to tell me to shut up. If I get on the bus, ain't nobody going to tell me to shut up. Wherever I go, I'm going to stand up, and I will fulfill my purpose and tell this world that you better repent because there is a heaven and hell. There is a heaven and hell. So it don't matter what race you is. If you black, if you white, repent and come to Christ. You ain't going to make it in heaven.
And thank you, Lois. We appreciate you so much. As always, we appreciate your contribution.
Thank you for telling me that, but I ain't scared of nothing.
And Zelda says, Grand Rising Queen Teachers, thanks for sharing.
Zelda, hey, Zelda.
Yes, Zelda's our Monday morning mindfulness host. And, you know, the thing that what Lois was saying about back in the day, those who are in the street organizations, the gangs, so-called.
It was more structured.
It was structured, and it was about protecting the community.
Yep.
Somehow it got corrupted. And what she was saying about the police, you have this major drug business, global business happening. And you have people who are greedy and who are a part of it. And you have people who are on the street that are part of it. You have people who are in the police department that's part of it. So if people are involved in this business and they're willing to do whatever's necessary to make some money because that's their spirit, they're into greed, then they will lie, they will cheat, they will kill, they will steal, they will do these things because that's the spirit that
is in them. Because they got access to the street, like you say. But you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of people scared to speak up, but the person who has a real spirit of God in them, the Holy Spirit, they're not scared because it's like you think I'm going to sit up here and keep, like you talking about ain't nothing going to change. Hey, listen. It is going to change because when Jesus cracked that sky, people think that it's false and everything. Oh, God, it ain't no God in heaven. Heaven ain't real and hell ain't real. Listen, they gonna have to repent. I'm calling for nationwide repentance. When I get on platforms, I'm calling for nationwide repentance because repentance means to change your ways and to come to Christ.
Absolutely.
That's what it means. It means to police. I'm calling up to repent. And guess what? There are people of God in the
police. Absolutely.
So here's the thing. I know one lady, African American, beautiful police officer, and she goes through a lot too, right?
Yeah.
But she's a Christian. You think she ain't in there evangelizing?
I mean, it's a group that prays every day before they go out on the street. I mean, there are spirit everywhere you go. You're gonna see the light and the dark. You see the spiritual people that are spirit led. They pray. They do work that they do with love and compassion. And then you have the other people that's out serving themselves. And those are the ones who will...
That's corrupted.
That are corrupted. So we're trying to help bring back the corrupted souls so they can return to the Father, the Mother,
the God. And I'm also
calling
for God's people to stand up because a lot of God's people have, like, you know what I'm saying, you allow the enemy, some of them, not all of them, allow the enemy to creep you when you know you're supposed to be going to school and getting the foster care system and be a caseworker. Like, do you know how many people is in this world? A lot of people are not doing what God has called them to do. They over there somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And God ain't told you to be no entrepreneur. God told you to go sign up to be a police officer. A lot of God's people are in rebellion. They're doing things that God ain't told them to do. Oh, let me go. I know somebody right now that think they going to make it to the top. You know what God's saying? I got to say right now. I know somebody right now that thinks they're going to become the top in a network marketing company. You know what God told me? He ain't never going to make it.
Mm.
He's in rebellion. All these years.
Mm.
All these years, God said, I told him to do a specific thing, and he walked away from what I told him to do. Because people are looking for some type of comfort in this world. They don't want to. You're going to, listen, the Bible says, you're going to suffer anyways for Christ's sake. But But you don't want to suffer. You want to go, oh, let me go get myself together, and let me go sit on the beach somewhere. Let me stack up all my treasure on earth, millions and billions of dollars. When God say he going to bless you with that money for you to go give it away, that's the one he looking for. See, them the ones when Jesus heard that young man, he said, what must I do to basically be saved? He told him what to do. He walked away because he was rich. He didn't want to give up all his money. He said, go give all your money away to the poor and come follow me. People don't want to do that. People don't want to deny themselves. People don't want to. So what I'm telling you is this. It is going to change. God's people, it's millions of Christians, people who profess to be believers and everything. Some of them are lukewarm. Wait, you feel me? Some of them are living double lives. Some of them are scared. You gather with fear. Be delivered. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to carry power.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Who are you
people
fearing?
Are distracted right now. And God said, I call some of these people to be social workers. I call some of them to be foster mothers. I call some of them to open up orphanages. I call some of them to start organizations, and they worry about money. They lusting after money. Listen, I know some of them that fell away. A lot of these, I'm calling it out, a lot of these people who were first doing the right thing, walking with God, and they got big-headed, some of these big leaders. Come on, I got to call it out. God says, he's calling for nationwide repentance, so you said ain't nothing going to change. When God, that ain't what the Lord, that ain't what the word of God said, and that ain't what the Lord said. God has said, if these people don't repent, he's going to take them up out of here. Because he's going to raise up another generation, the Joshua generation, the ones that ain't scared. Because I bet you if a white man walk up on me that's racist, I'm going to, listen, and what, I ain't scared of you, because that's a spirit, that's a demon. That's a demon. I ain't scared of you. You ain't going to put no fear in me, because I'm going to be honest with you. You may get mad because I ain't my ancestors.
Ooh.
You ain't going to hang me.
Ooh.
You're going to get mad at me for sins, but I'm not my ancestors. You're not going to put fear in me, period. I ain't scared of no
God
white man.
God knows no fear. Absolutely.
You ain't going to put no fear in me because I got the power. I got the real power. God, the only way you can get in slavery is if we let them enslave us. See, people don't want to hit it.
Yeah.
People don't want to hit it.
You're not going to
put me. See, listen, but really the now slavery is systems. Systems. We allow them to oppress us because we let them put us against us. We allowed them to do that from the very beginning. We allowed them to do that. Well, when we say why, you ain't going to want to hear this. Because God left us. God left us because of disobedience. Y'all want to constantly say in this, God left us. But guess what? Ain't nobody going to put me in slavery. I ain't scared of you, and you ain't going to put no fear in me. Because fear is what enslaves us.
Absolutely.
Fear has to do with punishment.
Yes.
So they don't want to hear that because everybody want to keep saying, oh, the white man. And do you not know the Bible talks about, because we out of our disobedience, he was going to let us be enslaved because we was disobedient, we was sinning, we was worshiping other different gods. Why don't y'all talk about the real stuff?
That just lets us know we got to come back next Tuesday for part three.
Yeah.
Because it's time to go, and we just getting revved up. So y'all got to come on
time,
back.
But it's real.
There you go. Ain't no fear in the power.
And you ain't
going
to slay me. No system. No foster care system. No prison system. Because really, Egypt is a system. And I'm going to leave it up for comfort. Justice for Genesis, this is the beginning. These systems, God said these systems getting ready to be overturned and overthrown. They better repent because the kingdom of God is here.
Come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xie Xie, India, Zanyaba,
Japan. Arigato. Korea. Kamsahamnida. Russia. Spasiba. Germany. Danke. Poland. Dziękuję. France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Merci. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.